Okay. Call the Joint Committee on Tax Credits to order. Welcome, everyone. This is the first meeting of a brand-new committee. We have an exciting mission ahead of us, which will probably develop more intensely later in the session, but we wanted to use today to get organized so that we're ready to hit the ground running when we start our serious work. So I will turn this over to Paul now to talk about our committee rules.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Bailey's already spotted a typo on the top line there under, this is credits, not credots. So we'll put that. It's been a long week. Couple of things that are to keep in mind about a joint committee is the most important thing is that you're still separate chambers. So for quorum purposes, for any kind of voting purposes, you have to have three senators and five House members voting in the affirmative. So that's important to keep that in mind as we go through. And if you look on the back side of that point number 10, it just goes through all the areas where that applies to, all the different motions that would apply to anything, of course, involving a measure or sending a measure out. When you do send a measure out to the floor, it will go, there is not the option of a minority report. And if you look under 13, it explains that. That's kind of standard procedure for a joint committee.
Paul, I'm going to pause you for a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has it been distributed?
Yes,
I don't have
them. I don't have it either.
Dave,
me three.
I have a copy that you emailed.
Oh, okay.
Do you have these?
Oh, wait, that's right. We're supposed to be going paperless, and it's a rocky road sometimes. But that's okay. I can look over your shoulders.
Okay.
Do others have what they need?
We have. I have.
Nobody.
No.
Okay, here comes. Help is on the way. Thanks. Thanks, Jules. I thought it was
my
just me.
My staff is changing
the password to be able to tell me.
Looking down the dice and seeing the computer.
I told them what to make it.
Memory of the email that I got.
Yeah. No. For the audience, the legislature is trying very hard to go paperless, and so sometimes we're expected to have things on our computer, which sometimes we forget to bring to committee. So, all right. Does everyone have the rules now in front of them?
Okay.
Continue.
Okay. Well, that explains the puzzled looks when making those references. So I was on the back page referring to number 10 are the various measures that require a majority from each chamber of the joint committee. And under number 13 is another specific issue around joint committees, and that is that bills are sent to the floor without minority reports. So that's not an option in a joint committee the way the rules are set up. Now, it can be, but that this was brought to leadership's attention, and they made the decision to go the traditional way and not allow minority reports. So that's in point number 13. Point 14 is another those of you that have served on Ways and Means, a common element of the joint committee is that once you pass out a bill, it goes to the first chamber and then automatically goes to the second chamber. And of course, that will give you some flexibility on moving things quickly toward the end of the session.
Okay, and I just want to let people know that this is this truly is an evenly divided committee. The House is 30-30, so their committee composition is even between Democrats and Republicans. And the Senate, by choice, is also evenly divided. So the decisions that you get out of this committee by necessity will be consensus decisions. So the lack of minority reports is really kind of irrelevant here. Okay. Representative Berger, do you have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move adoption of the Joint Special Committee on Tax Credits Committee rules as presented.
Representative Berger has moved adoption of the Special Joint Committee on Tax Credits Committee rules. Is there any discussion or questions? Is there any objection? So ordered. Okay, now our next item is discussion of our committee work plan. com.
Okay. Part of my paper saving efforts, I put your questions around the tax credits, which we have distributed to the policy committees, and those are there for your review. They've been using these questions based on the recommendations that have been reviewed by the co-chairs. We have had one additional suggestion on this that we make, and we could make this change at any time, that there be some more specific reference to jobs. Of course, in the case of some credits, that would be particularly relevant, particularly with some of the economic development ones that are being considered right now, especially in the economic development committees in both chambers have a number of bills that would be highly relevant. And sometimes it wouldn't be, particularly the next round of credits we look at usually don't have a job impact as one of the policy purposes. But we could certainly make that as an adjustment, for example, to the very first question, what is the public purpose of this credit, and add something about jobs to that, if that's something the committee would want to do.
Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If we do insert something regarding jobs, could we specifically state that we're looking at FTE and not just jobs?
Are you talking about permanent jobs versus temporary? Or
yes.
Okay. Or maybe a delineation of, for example, just examining how many jobs it's likely to produce in both categories, perhaps.
Madam Chair, yeah, because when we talk about jobs, 3,000 jobs is a lot different to me if they are only 100 of them are full-time jobs. If we're talking about a couple hours here, a couple weeks there, I think it's more beneficial to knowing the impact of a tax credit or any tax expenditure as to what real job growth it is creating.
Okay. Representative Berger.
Madam Chair, I concur, but I think I would rather, instead of talking about jobs, just be more generic and ask them to, where possible, when reporting this, to give us information on what they think the substantive impact would be on employment base, or some language like that, rather than talking about. Because I think it's going to be difficult in some cases to nail a job, and but I think what we're interested in is, does this, in what way does this promote our employment base? And I think that's what we're about. But I mean, I hate to presuppose the information that we're going to get, because the policy committees are. We got lots of apples and oranges.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And I don't want to lock the apples in the orange bin and come out with some other kind of fruit. I don't want to carry that fruit thing too strongly.
And we're also sending a message to the advocates for these credits. And so if we send a message that what we really like to see when possible is family wage jobs, permanent jobs, and send that message not just to the policy committees, but to the advocates, so that they know how to advocate for the particular credit that they have and show the benefit to the overall taxpayer. Is that consistent with what you were saying?
Yeah, I would concur. My concern is that in the past it's always been jobs, but no one's ever defined what that means. And so if we want to talk about the impact to the employment base, that's fine, knowing that we're still looking for something that's more stable, long-term, wage rate, that type of thing. And realizing that not all tax expenditures have that type of impact or are meant to have that kind of impact. So. But again, just being more clear that we just don't want to hear about jobs when there's no real definition to what we're talking about in that employment category.
Good point. Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I think part of the challenge here in crafting these questions has been to create a list of generic questions for what Representative Berger, I think, appropriately called apples and oranges in these tax credits. And in developing these questions, the question of jobs and employment is clearly extremely relevant, especially for the round of credits that are sunsetting now and that we will be reviewing. As we get to subsequent rounds and other kinds of credits, some of them have employment-related public policy goals, and some of them have other public health or environmental goals. And I think that those goals fall under the larger category of what is the return on the state's investment that it is making in this program. And sometimes that return is measured in jobs and revenue, and sometimes it's measured in other ways for that investment. And I think that we as a committee are able to say to the policy committees that are reviewing these and to the stakeholders that part of their job in reviewing the public policy purpose of the credit is to make that determination about what are the metrics that will best define that return on investment, and then to answer the question of, are we getting the most bang for our buck? And embedded within that question is one that a subsequent question that I have heard from some advocates after creating this list of questions, which is, can policy committees and stakeholders help tease out the but-for question? But for this credit, would the activity that we are incenting occur? And that is embedded in the effectiveness and the efficiency of the tax credit as a mechanism to achieve that public policy goal.
Thank you. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With respect to the job metric, it's really the tax cost per job that should be calculated, because you could that's really the key, is to tie it back to that measurement. It may create jobs, but at what cost?
Yeah, I would assume that would be part of the, you know, the overall discussion to get at the point that Representative Bailey was making. Are there other comments? Representative Barnhart, you're being awfully quiet today. Yes, Representative.
Thank you. I'm wondering, do we want the jobs analysis to include kind of economic impact slash tertiary jobs created, or are we talking about jobs that are only directly attributable to the tax credit?
I think if we go along with the lines that Representative Berger was talking about, don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think that's the sort of thing you were getting at, is an overall employment base analysis. That's a good point.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions, comments? Okay. Paul, now you can move on to the work plan.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'll just jump ahead to, because I think it's relevant to the discussion just had, was if you look under the second paragraph, number 3, additional analysis focusing on, the B under that would be potential secondary economic and equity issues involving the credit. So kind of the way we've structured this is you would be asking for direct impacts from the policy committees to the extent they have that data available, and then within this committee you would take a broader perspective and look at what evidence can we find in terms of what some of those secondary effects might be. But just to look at the work plan itself, you have through the revenue committees introduced sunset extensions for all of the credits that are due in 2012 and a couple that are due in 2014, and I have a list of those. If you look in your packet, you should have a table there. And we have, at the direction of leadership, introduced the identical set in both chambers. So you've got identical set of vehicles in both those chambers. And if you look on this chart, you can see the current committee where they are. And I haven't updated this to show that we actually have a couple of them that on the House side, fire insurance and the workers' comp credit, that have actually arrived in possession of this committee. So they are starting to come in. So those are the ones we're expecting. All of those have been given a subsequent to the Joint Committee. And then also there's a series of new credits that are largely in the revenue committees, but are in other committees as well, that would come to this committee for comparison with those sunset extensions. So you'd have two groups there. You'd have the existing credits that have been sunset extensions, and then a set of new credits to compare. And also, of course, keep in mind that the way that you've set this up is you're encouraging the policy committees not just to make a straight extension, even though that's the way the bills are set up, but also to make modifications where they feel appropriate. So hopefully you'll get some good changes proposed through that process. In terms of the next paragraph there, go through the evaluation process, and this would be when I know that the chairs have spoken to several of the committees, and we have gone, Chris and I have gone to several of the policy committees too, and what we have emphasized is the importance of really just getting information from them, input from them, and that would probably be the most helpful for this joint committee to as a starting point, since they're more familiar with that policy area. So that you'd get information from them, and you've also asked them through your questions to prioritize those credits where there are multiple bills or multiple credits involved. And then finally, to take the kind of the revenue perspective in terms of how this credit fits in the overall tax system, the secondary issues we talked about, and then finally some issues that this committee would be in a unique position to look at. How does this fit in the administration of the tax system? How does it fit in terms of the normal criteria you look at for revenue changes? Finally, we have been working with legislative fiscal office and the co-chairs and the looking at the revenue impact of any of these extensions. Of course, that becomes a major factor in developing the budget at the end in the budget box, and the ultimately the agreement will be what will go into that budget box in terms of what would be an acceptable level of revenue impact for credit extensions or new credits that this joint committee would agree to. And we have updated, I'm not sure if everyone's seen our most updated version of the revenue impacts. That's in your packet. It looks at the they're basically very similar to what you had looked at during the interim. And if you look at the back side of this, most of all of the impact occurs in the 11-13 biennium for those that expire in 2012. So what we're saying is if you look at the totals there at the bottom, if you extended all of the sunsets in their current form, kept the credits in their current form that were due in 2012, you would have to reduce the revenue forecast by $40.4 million compared to the current law. It's also important to keep in mind, and we have a sentence there in the work plan, that a key factor in terms of the revenue impact for these credits, especially ones like the business energy tax credit, that have, even if they sunset, they continue to have significant revenue impacts into the future because of the way they're structured. So you can see that in the 13-15, if you extend all of the sunsets that are due, you're up over $200 million, and then by 15-17, you're almost to $500 million. So keep in mind, those numbers have been added into the current law forecast. And one of the reasons why, if you look at the forecast, it kind of jumps up in 13-15 and 15-17, because it's assuming those sunsets take place.
And so, Paul, I think given that, let's see, do we have on our questions, or maybe it belongs in the work group, to have some kind of way of making sure that we're analyzing not just the impact on this biennium, but the impact on future biennia for the tax credits. Where do we find
Madam Chair, I did put in the last line on the work plan that the Joint Committee will also factor in revenue impacts and succeeding biennia when making its decision.
Okay, I just missed that. Okay. All right. So, committee, what I would suggest, given our conversation about jobs. What I would really like is to have, when the policy committees start talking about these, and we've done this several times, both at staff level, and I know Senator Morse and I have gone to a committee to talk about the questions that we'd like them to address. I'd like to, for people who do that, I would like to have the job discussion that we had incorporated into the direction we give to committees. So what I'd like to ask Paul to do is to take a shot at adding to our little list of questions and emailing it around and seeing if we can get some words that we all agree on that we can present to committees. And then we'll take the, we'll bring the revised question list to our next committee. But I don't want to hold up our appearances before committees to give them direction. Is that agreeable? I see head nods. Okay. All right. Are there questions or comments on what Paul has given on our work plan? Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just wanted to point out for the committee and draw the committee's attention to the second bullet under the types of bills, new tax credits. So we have in the scope of this committee the review of the sunsets on the extensions and modifications of existing credits as well as new tax credits. It is my hope, and I would be interested to hear from the committee as well, that what we are doing this session is the first step in a larger effort around really considering our revenue expenditures in the same way that we examine and consider our budgetary expenditures, and that we review them carefully for the return on investment that this state is getting. In this biennium, because we are a new committee, and we certainly have our work cut out for us this time, in my mind it is appropriate that we make sure that we get it right and that we have a scope that is limited to credits. And that we pioneer this work in this committee by focusing on those issues and getting them right. But that in subsequent biennia, it is my hope that this committee or some committee like it will continue and may have an expanded scope around deductions and subtractions so that it is best able to consider those expenditures across the spectrum of type and consider them in concert on how they affect both our revenue system as well as our economy and the other outcomes that they are intended to achieve. So I'm very excited to be part of this initial step, but it is my hope that it is just a first step. And I would also add that as we look to the policy committees for their help in crafting and refining the credits that come to us, it's already March. And by necessity, our work will mostly come later in session after these committees have had time to do an initial digestion on the issues. The challenge is that will leave us limited time to get done the difficult work that we have. And so because of that, the more work that the policy committees are able to do, the better information they are able to provide, and the more clear data we are able to have, that will enable us to be able to do our work. And I would offer to those that care a lot about these credits that the more information that this committee is armed with, the more likely we are to come out with a good result.
Thank you. Other comments? Representative Bentz.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I guess this is a question for Paul. Most of us on this committee have had the opportunity to watch the tinkering with the Betsy, and the analogy is taking a wheel off a moving car or putting it back on or maybe taking square wheels off. I'm not sure what the right analogy is, but is there some part here in your work plan that will force us to address the mechanism or not that we have at the state level to manage these tax credits? And is it better addressed at the policy level or here? And by mechanism, I mean the very machinery we tinkered with on the Betsy at different agency levels.
Representative Benz, you know, we tried to get, I think, at that somewhat with the one of the policy committee questions is, let's see, one, two, three, four, the fifth one down. Is the use of a credit an effective and efficient way to achieve this policy goal? And that suggesting that there are alternative ways to achieve this goal. It may be through subsidies, it may be through regulation, maybe other ways that you can achieve the goal rather than a tax credit that might make more sense. Now that, I think, presents a real challenge for the legislature because, you know, we work in committees with specific expertise, but in areas like the energy policy, obviously there's other approaches, you know, either regulatory or through direct subsidies that can achieve those goals. So the intent there is to have, to the extent possible, to have the policy committees and then this committee consider those other alternatives. I know that's certainly been part of the Betsy discussion.
What I'm concerned about is having the agency, let's say, Department of Energy, come in and say, you know, the Betsy is a great program, but it's cost our agency this much to try to manage it. And if we're going to continue the device, it's going to cost us this much more. So what I'm asking for is how do we and who should be asking for that information, this group or our policy committees?
Well, again, Madam Chair, I think that I would see that as fitting in under the work plan. The second paragraph, you have the third analysis under C under that, where it's potential administrative issues that need to be considered. I'm thinking more in terms of Department of Revenue, but it would certainly apply to something where you have a tax credit that, or a program that's administered by Business Oregon, for example, or by Department of Energy. That would obviously be a key part, is how the administration and how effectively can it be administered, can it be monitored so that the people that are receiving the benefit are the ones that are intended.
Thank you. So is the answer, Paul, then, that we should address that at the policy level and we should add that to that list of bullet points, or should we wait until it gets here and have those agencies come before this group?
Representative Vance, I think the way we've structured this is that would be in the purview of this joint committee.
Do you see, and this is an interesting area, I'm wondering if we should charge the policy committees with maybe taking a look at how much it costs to implement the administrative costs and whether those are, whether they would have any recommendation in that regard. Would that, do you think that would be appropriate, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can add that to your assignment list to refine these questions. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Ms. Under the second to the last, could this credit be modified to make it more efficient, effective, and or efficient? If so, how? I would certainly think that a comment about the efficiency of its administration would be part of that analysis to the policy committees.
Yeah, or efficient, or could be administered at lower cost.
Or just say its efficiency, effective and or efficiency, including administration of it.
Right.
You know, just
that's probably the place to play with this concept. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Representative Vince. Representative
Juan. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm continually fascinated in the tax credit discussion by the kind of the but-for analysis. If we didn't have this tax credit, would we actually get the revenue that we think we would get, or do we get the revenue because of the tax or of the tax credit, get it, meaning after the credit has expired for that particular enterprise? And I'm wondering, in looking at this list of questions, are we asking the policy committee to provide us with their determination and their opinion with regard to that but-for analysis, or is that a question that we're going to answer here? And then as a follow-up consideration, in describing these as tax expenditures, have we already presupposed the answer to that question?
I think this committee is looking for some data to help us to the decision of but-for. Because but-for is, if we could have someone that we could absolutely count on to be correct to come in and give us that answer, we could save all these questions. Because that's, that's really the nut of what we're trying to get at. So I would think that we are looking for recommendations and data to answer just that. But I think that that final determination really rests with this committee.
Thank you.
Co-chair is nodding. Okay, other comments, questions? All right, well, I'm looking forward to a grand adventure. I want to thank my co-chairs here and the committee, and we will be back at further notice. We have nothing posted, right, Paul, at this point. So if there are no other further comments, we are adjourned. Thank you.